President Trump says he plans to announce his Supreme Court pick on Monday. Whomever he nominates would replace Justice Anthony Kennedy, who's retiring. But just because a president nominates a justice doesn't mean they'll make it to the court. For a look back at failed nominations, we're joined now by Ed Ayers and Joanne Freeman, historians and co-hosts of the weekly podcast Backstory. Welcome back.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks.
So the Supreme Court, by the way, a little history here, was first established in 1789. Presidents have submitted 162 nominations for the court, including those for Chief Justice. Of those, 125 were confirmed. So a lot of people have not made it to the bench. But Joanne, take us back to George Washington. He was unsuccessful at getting a Supreme Court nomination through.
He was indeed. And in his case, his name was John Rutledge. He was from South Carolina. He gave a speech in South Carolina in which he declared something along the lines of, he loved President Washington dearly, but he would wish General Washington dead if he signed this Jay Treaty that was pending. So people in the Senate who liked the Jay Treaty and were sided with Washington, were on his side, politically speaking, were not really thrilled with Mr. Rutledge. So he actually was not approved by the Senate. He was also not in wonderful health. So I think he resigned before he even knew that he'd been rejected, which probably was best for Mr. Rutledge.
And what was the Jay Treaty?
The Jay Treaty was a treaty, 1795, that some people thought was too soft on England.
There's always one issue, you know, that you just can't get the person through without them being with you on that. Now, the Jay Treaty involves John Jay, who was somebody that George Washington actually did get onto the court.
He did indeed. And he was Chief Justice of the court, and he served for a time. He stepped down. He went about doing other political business. And John Adams then was the next president. And Adams went to Jay and essentially said, you were really good at this job. Mm-hmm. Would you come back? And Jay actually said, no, I didn't love that job.
You can't imagine that happening today, the idea of somebody being offered a slot on the court and saying no thanks.
Right, right. Although, you know, my sense is that at the time, the court nowadays, I think it's busier and it's doing far more momentous decisions than it did in those early years. So I think that Jay, to some degree, was bored because they weren't doing a lot in those first few years. And I have to add that because Jay did not accept that nomination, we ended up with John Marshall, who's really one of our most renowned chief justices.
Now, in 1828, John Quincy Adams nominated John Crittenden to the High Court, but the Senate refused to act, and eventually Andrew Jackson came in and filled the position with someone else, John McLean. So maybe this would have been the first stolen seat.
It is the first, as far as I know, the first stolen seat. It's at the end of Adams' presidency, and he nominates John Crittenden, who's a lawyer from Kentucky, and the Jacksonian supporters, who know that he's just been elected president, basically do not want Adams to be able to appoint a Supreme Court justice. So they pass a resolution that essentially says it is, and this is the word they use, inexpedient to consider this justice at this particular moment. Yes, very inexpedient. And so they don't vote one way or another, that he just does not come up, and Jackson comes in, assumes the presidency, and he's the one who appoints a justice.
And Ed, Jackson got a taste of his own medicine in 1835 when he first nominated Roger B. Taney to Associate Justice. What happened there?
Well, Taney has a number of distinguishing achievements. First, he was the first cabinet member to be rejected by the Senate. And then he went on to be rejected by the Senate as an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court. Now, this is because of the bank war, and that Taney was seen as a kind of pawn of Jackson in dismantling the Bank of the U.S. And so it created a whole other party, the Whig Party, and they were determined that Roger B. Taney was not going to have a position of authority. But things changed a little bit. The Democrats got a slim majority, and Jackson came back again and said, well, how about this? What do you say we make him Chief Justice of the Supreme Court?
Push it even further.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he did, and then he ruled for decades. Now, there were trivial accomplishments that he had, like he was the first to wear regular pants underneath the robes. I'm sure listeners were wondering who that was.
I did not know that, Ed.
Well, but now you do. And
I do.
He also had the idea that he would assign decisions to associate judges to give. It wouldn't just always be the Supreme Court Chief Justice, because he had stage fright, apparently. Huh. But, of course, his name goes down in infamy because almost 20 years later, he is the one who enunciates the infamous Dred Scott decision, which declared that black Americans had no right that white Americans were bound to respect. So it shows, you know, he's turned down twice, mm-hmm. finally anointed, and then plays an outsized role in American history.
Before we get to modern times, I want to ask you about one more. That would be John Tyler, who was not elected. He became president. He was vice president, and then William Henry Harrison died, and he became president. They called him His Accidency. And he tried to nominate people to the court, and they said, absolutely not. You weren't even elected.
Yeah, and of course, this is, people will be shocked to learn, politics as well. You know, the two-party system is in turmoil. People, as Joanne was telling us about, simply aren't going to give the other guys a chance mm-hmm. to make something. And of course, we all know this is such outsized importance because it's for life. And so, right. As ugly as other fights are, there's nothing quite like a Supreme Court justice fight.
Okay, one of the failed nominations that has been talked about a lot in the last week is the one that is the reason that Kennedy was on the court in the first place, and that would be Robert Bork, who was Ronald Reagan's nomination in 1987. And when asked why he wanted to be a justice, here's what Bork said.
I think it would be an intellectual feast just to be there and to read the briefs and discuss things with counsel and discuss things with my colleagues.
But liberals blocked the Bork nomination, which had a profound effect on how we nominate justices today. How so?
Well, that quote gives you an idea that he had one mark against him. He was an academic. And so he had written things down. Mm. He'd written articles.
I know. Oh, no.
He had said, I know, for a long time what he had thought about stuff. And so they went back through his record, ransacked his CV, and found things that he'd written expressing reservations about the Civil Rights Act and Roe v. Wade and so forth. So the Democrats were loading for bear even before he showed up. And they had reasons to believe, okay, this guy is dedicated to a judicial philosophy of originalism, that we are bound by what the founders intended by their words, and we can't go beyond that. So this was kind of like the questionnaire turned up several notches and going to have these public hearings on television. And we know the salutary effect that broadcasting these things has. Right. Nobody's ever performing for the cameras.
And Reagan then nominated Douglas Ginsburg, which didn't work out either.
Well, no, because he admitted that he'd smoked marijuana and had actually inhaled. And so that's when Reagan went to his third choice, a certain Justice Kennedy that people may have read about of late.
It was just the wrong time for Ginsburg, you know. First of all, these days there are 9 states where marijuana is legal. And secondly, you know, there's already a Ginsburg on the court now.
So a man ahead of his time.
Right. Joanne, let's go to the last example we want to get to, which is Harriet Myers, who was the White House counsel to George W. Bush. He nominated her in 2005.
She has devoted her life to the rule of law and the cause of justice. She will be an outstanding addition to the Supreme Court of the United States.
But she never made it to the bench. What happened?
Well, there were 3 main reasons why people, actually Republicans from Bush's own party, did not support her nomination. One was that she had no prior experience as a judge. One point against her for some was that she had a close relationship with the president. And what would that mean? But the real reason why people opposed her, and in particular why Republicans opposed her, was people didn't know where she stood on key issues, and in particular, they didn't know where she stood on abortion. So as Senator Santorum said at the time, Bush had nominated, quote, a blank slate. So some conservatives were really against the nomination because they were thinking about Roe v. Wade and they wanted someone who reliably would overturn it. This became a heated issue, and in the end, her nomination was withdrawn. There's a little fuzziness about mm-hmm. whether President Bush withdrew it or about whether Harriet Myers withdrew it on her own. That's the way that Bush put it out in a statement. But one way or another, her nomination was withdrawn.
Well, Ed, listening to all this, what I hear is, first of all, there have been a lot of failed nominations in the past. And secondly, that there's been a lot of politics in this process. It almost makes you think that this time now that we're experiencing is not so unusual.
Well, in backstory, we always notice that things are always terrible, and yet somehow we're still here.
Right.
But no, I think your point's correct, that you think about what this is that this is someone simply being anointed to a position and then having to be affirmed by a body that may or may not agree with the anointer. And so on one hand, it's the fastest path to enduring fame and impact. On the other hand, it seems one of the most fraught.
And it's a moment that obviously people feel they need to seize on, right? It's not as though this moment,
right,
this kind of moment comes very often. So when there is a moment to appoint a justice, whether people like or don't like the possibilities, they're going to jump on that moment because they know what that's going to have as far as an impact on the future.
Historians Joanne Freeman and Ed Ayers, co-hosts of the weekly podcast Backstory, thanks as always.
Thanks for having us.